Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Life Podcast from your friends here at Pacific Life. I'm Stephen Mitchell, along with my good friend Bill Bell. We are coming to you today from, well, this is actually the first part of the new year, and we're very excited about the particular happy coincidence of the timing. Bill, you want to tell our listeners why we're so happy about the timing of this recording session?
Well, Stephen, as our listeners know, the second half of last year and the early part of 2023 here, we've been integrating our old retirement solutions and life insurance divisions. So this is our first episode of the Life Podcast where we're actually members of what's called the Consumer Markets Division. So very excited about that. Rather than there being essentially two separate almost companies in a way, we're now one large organization. We're going to continue to the integration process throughout 2023 here, but really excited about that.
Well, yeah, Bill, we realize that a lot of our listeners not only sell life insurance, but sell other financial products, including annuities. So that sort of begs the question, Bill, have we figured out if we're going to change the name of the podcast to reflect the new Consumer Markets Division? Is that something we've talked about yet?
It's still a little bit up in the air. We have such brand recognition with the Life Podcast. I mean, those dozens and dozens of subscriptions that we have out there, we don't want to alienate our loyal listeners by changing the name. But who knows? It could change to something like the Life and Annuity Podcast or the Consumer Markets Podcast. We don't really know at this point, but for the time being, it is the Life Podcast. Now, another thing that we're excited about is that since we're essentially one division now, later on this year, Stephen and I intend to have on some guests that would have been traditionally part of communications from the Retirement Solutions Division. So we'll hear from maybe my counterpart, Reed Lloyd, maybe are some of our distribution people. So listeners that have grown accustomed to the top-notch life insurance-based audio content are going to have a little more breath as far as what we're going to be sharing, what we're going to be providing as far as information to the group. So really excited about that for 2023 and beyond here.
Well, since this is our first podcast that's being recorded in the new year, we thought that it would be a great idea on this episode to dig into our old mailbag. Now, we know that many of you out there who listen to and love the show send us questions for content, future episodes, et cetera, and we've got hundreds and hundreds, Bill, of these questions that we have not had a chance to get to. So before we do that, why don't we take care of a little business before we move on? Isn't that correct, Bill?
That is correct. Whomever is reading those today, go ahead and take it away.
Here you go. This podcast is intended for financial professional use only. If you are not a financial professional, please visit our public website at pacificlife.com. Although this podcast is sponsored by Pacific Life Insurance Company, the opinions and views expressed are those of the hosts and participants and do not necessarily reflect Pacific Life Insurance Company's views on any of the topics discussed. Pacific Life Insurance Company is licensed to issue insurance products in all states except New York. Product and material availability and features may vary by state. And stay tuned after this episode for more important disclosures at the end of this podcast. Back to you guys.
Very good. So, Stephen, I'll kick it off by asking you a question. This is one from Jim in Colorado Springs. Hey, guys, love the podcast, but I have a request. You spend a lot of time talking about advanced concepts and other stuff that, while informative and entertaining, don't really apply to my book of business. Can you do an episode where you focus on some simpler planning ideas that are more relevant to me and financial professionals like me?
Well, Jim, that was a great question. You know, in our travels, when Bill and I meet with advisors around the country, I mean, there's clearly a natural bias to the more affluent side of the marketplace because of the size of the typical cases there. But I don't think there's a single advisor that if he or she met a client that didn't represent that affluent space and just had some more bread and butter type insurance needs, I don't think any advisor would turn that person away. I mean, again, you need the big cases as well as the smaller cases. And I think, again, we would also agree that, you know, there's a tremendous underinsured problem in this country. I mean, for years, that market was almost exclusively served by the old traditional life insurance agents that would literally knock on doors and sell policies to people and take care of basic needs like basic income replacement. I mean, if you've got, you know, a spouse and some children, you definitely need life insurance. And those traditional agents aren't as many you know, it's pretty hard to knock on a door these days and get anybody to even answer the door, much less purchase anything. So we certainly do depend on our producers to serve both the affluent as well as the broader life insurance marketplace. So I think it's a terrific idea for us to spend some time and talk about some of those basic bread and butter type insurance needs. And so what do you think, Bill?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, I spend most of my time talking about advanced market strategies, but the reality is that a majority of the life insurance policies sold in this country are either term or kind of simple planning structures like that are, that term is involved in. So we should definitely do an episode where we're focused on that. So let's tear through the mailbag and see if there's some questions that are associated with these ideas.
Okay, let's see. We've got a question here from Keith in Des Moines. Keith writes, "Dear Bill and Stephen, in my practice, I oftentimes find myself running into blended families where a person is on his or her second or even third marriage, and with children involved as well. It makes planning really tough in these situations. What kind of strategies can I employ in these blended families?"
Well, you know, this is a really common scenario, and we do a lot of presentations and have some materials in regards to just planning for blended families. So that's kind of your traditional yours, mine, and ours type of scenario where you have multiple marriages, multiple relationships, and kids from different places. And in a lot of cases, it's really important to do planning for these situations. Now, we do see in a lot of cases, the kids from a previous relationship are often taken care of with life insurance. Sometimes it's in a trust, sometimes it's not. But when you have a situation where maybe you have a husband and wife and the husband has kids from a previous marriage, planning for the newer kids from the current relationship may be easy because you have traditional estate planning rules and so forth. But obviously in that case, the husband doesn't want to cut out the kids from the previous marriage. So having life insurance in a trust for their benefit, whether it be revocable or irrevocable, or just having the husband own a life insurance policy and naming those kids as the beneficiary of the policy may make all the sense in the world in that situation. But the bottom line is that this is kind of a core life insurance need that we talk about quite frequently. And again, it can be term, it could be universal life, it could be indexed universal life, just depending on the client's needs. People that have this situation should definitely look at some of the materials that we've created. Lots of third-party articles on this as well out there. So I definitely suggest taking a look at those.
You know, it feels like a juicy enough topic to devote a whole episode to it. Have we thought about doing that?
You know, it's a good idea. Let's put it on the schedule for 2023 or 2024 for sure. It's a good idea.
You know, maybe we could even track down Keith in Iowa and have him provide his perspective on the actual podcast.
I do have his phone number. He listed it at the bottom of his email. All right, Stephen. Well, it's my turn to dig into the mailbag here. And I got a question from Mike from right here in Orange County. And Mike says, "Stephen and Bill, I enjoy the podcast and hope that you are going to continue to do them for the foreseeable future. First of all, thank you, Mike. And good news, the Consumer Markets Division will continue to have podcasts going forward. So rest assured there. So getting back to his question, I work with a lot of business owners, and the number one risk that a lot of these businesses have is the loss of their key employees. Can a business buy life insurance to help in this scenario? And if so, what requirements are there?"
Well, Bill, it wasn't too long ago, was it, that we actually had Joanne Gagnon in, and we were talking to her about that very subject with our Keep platform?
Actually, Stephen, I think as I read Mike's question here, he's not really focused on executive compensation strategies like Joanne from our Keep team talked about in that previous episode. What I think he's really referring to is the loss of an employee because of a premature death. And what we're really talking about here is pure key person life insurance coverage. In a lot of cases, the biggest risk that a business has is not only that their key people could potentially walk out the door and go to a competitor across the street, which is what Joanne talked about in that previous episode. But in some cases, there's just a risk that if somebody passes away prematurely, it could have a profound impact on the business. That person could be a key decision maker. They could have relationships with customers that would go to the wayside if they were no longer around. There's also a cost in recruiting and training a replacement for those people. So when we talk about key person life insurance, that's what we're really talking about. Now, often key person life insurance is used in conjunction with non-qualified plans and so forth. But pure key person life insurance, it is a business-owned policy providing protection for the business in case somebody does pass away prematurely. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, I thought a long time ago the federal government did away with the ability to do key person life insurance, and that's not the case. 15, 20 years ago, there was something out there, unfortunately titled janitor insurance, but that's where businesses would buy life insurance on every employee of the business. When we talk about key person life insurance, we're talking about true key people, C-level executives, top performers, people that are critical to the financial success of the business. So that's got to be in place for there to be key person life insurance. There also has to be a notice given to that person that the business is going to buy life insurance on their life and they need to consent. But it's relatively simple. And again, it can be done with term. It could be done with universal life, whole life, whatever, again, best meets the client's needs. It is a really kind of bread and butter planning scenario for businesses with those key people.
Well, here's a question from Val in New Jersey. Val writes, I work with a lot of business owners who either have a buy-sell document in place but haven't funded it yet, or they have no succession plan at all. What resources does Pacific Life offer to get more information to help deal with these situations, and how does life insurance come into play?
If you're talking about business planning, the most bread-and-butter strategy that there is, which is business succession planning. Let's just step back and bring up a hypothetical here. Like, let's say that Steven and I decide to go into business together. And we'll sell widgets. As much as Steven and I love our respective spouses, if I was to pass away, Steven wouldn't want to be in business with my wife and vice versa. What we would do is we would draft what's called a buy-sell agreement. We would structure it so at the end of the day, if something happened to one of us, the other one would basically take over the business in full. And in many cases, that is funded with life insurance. And in some cases, it's term. In some cases, it's cash value products. It just, again, depends on the client's risk tolerance and what it is that they need. Sadly, in a lot of circumstances, they never get around to actually funding the buy-sell agreement with the life insurance. And in some cases, somebody leaves the business or passes away. And now the business owner has a responsibility to buy out the decedent partner's share of the business from his or her spouse or his or her estate, and they don't have the liquidity to do so. So life insurance is a great funding tool for these buy-sell agreements. And yes, we have lots of resources that are available to financial professionals that work in this space. In fact, the best place for you to view them and get copies and so forth is by checking out the BIS website. We've talked about it on previous episodes of the Life Podcast. You can visit the BIS website by visiting lifeinsurance.pacificlife.com/BIS. Again, that's lifeinsurance.pacificlife.com/BIS. And there's a whole bunch of materials on there on business succession, business continuation planning, even some third-party resources. So be sure to check those out, Val.
Well, thanks again for that great question, Val, and to all of our listeners for their great questions that helped constitute a really interesting podcast episode today, I think. I mean, it really does open up some new possibilities for new episode ideas in the new year. And with all the exciting opportunities with the new Consumer Markets Division, I think that we got some really good ideas today. What do you think, Bill?
Absolutely. I can't wait to get Keith in Iowa on to talk about blended families later this year.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. I can't wait to hear that. So, Bill, why don't you wrap up our podcast today by telling our listeners where they can get more information about the Life Podcast?
Yeah, well, Stephen, of course, this was a mailbag episode of the show. And if you want to send an email to Stephen or myself, you could do so by emailing us at themailbag@pacificlife.com. Again, that's themailbag@pacificlife.com. As you can see, we do read some of these letters on the air. Also, if you're interested in previous episodes of the show, visit our website at thelifepodcast.com. That's where we warehouse previous episodes, including the aforementioned episode with Joanne Gagnon from the Keep team about executive compensation. And then finally, if you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, stop by and leave us a review. We love to read the reviews from our listeners, so please do so. It really makes Stephen and I feel good about the content that we're putting out there. So for Stephen Mitchell, I'm Bill Bell. Thanks for joining us today.
The primary purpose of life insurance is to provide death benefit protection in the event of the insurer's death. Life insurance is subject to underwriting and approval of the application and will incur monthly policy charges. Pacific Life is a product provider. It is not a fiduciary and therefore does not give advice or make recommendations regarding insurance or investment products. In order to sell life insurance, a financial professional and advisor must be a properly licensed and appointed life insurance producer. Pacific Life Insurance Company is licensed to issue insurance products in all states except New York. Product/material, availability, and features may vary by state. KEEP stands for Key Executive Advantage Program. Pacific Life Insurance Company is located in Newport Beach, California. This podcast was recorded on February 27th, 2023. The state code for this podcast is 23-13.